Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us on This Needs to Be Said. Our attorney friend, Ron Drescher, is here with us today, and he's going to share with us, of course, another topic in the field of bankruptcy, but today we're going to talk about the pros and cons or the good and bad. What is it going to be, Ron? What are we talking about today?
We're going to talk about the pros and the cons.
Okay, of Chapter 13. All right. See? I'm hot on the trail. I can follow instructions. Well, I have my pen and paper out, Ron, and I'm ready to hear. I was excited about this topic because whenever I hear someone talk about a topic, it's like they pick a side, and you have to go just this way or just that way. So what I think you're going to share with us today is a way for us to make an informed decision. So I'm looking forward to it.
That's right. So, you know, there are really two main consumer sections of the bankruptcy code that, you know, that my clients want to talk about when they come to see me. And those are Chapter 7 and Chapter 13. And Chapter 7 is great. If you can get in and make that work for you, that's great. The typical Chapter 7 case takes about 90 to 100 days. You discharge all your credit cards, your personal loans. If you had a car repoed, if you were evicted from a house, if you had a house foreclosed, medical debts, all of those kind of debts that typically get people in trouble, they get wiped out in a Chapter 7. And, you know, 9 times out of 10 or even more than that, you walk away with all of the assets that you brought in with you to bankruptcy. So, yeah, Chapter 7 is great if you can do it. Some people just can't do Chapter 7 for a number of reasons. Maybe they filed it, you know, within the last 8 years, or their income is too high, or they have too much equity in their assets. Those are reasons why they can't file for Chapter 7. And then there are other things where you can only get benefits by Chapter 13. For example, if you want to discharge toll violations or parking tickets, or if you want to cure an arrears on your home mortgage, or if you want to, you know, pay down the value of your car over 60 months, those are things you can only do in Chapter 13.
Mm-hmm.
So for people in that situation, Chapter 13 is wonderful. It's great that you have the ability to, for example, cure your arrears over 60 months in the event that your lender doesn't give you a loan modification. Or let's say you're paying 24% on your car, you can go into bankruptcy and get it down to 5%, which is pretty miraculous. So that's one of the reasons why Chapter 13 is so wonderful, because it really allows you to do some pretty miraculous things. Doesn't that sound great?
It does.
Yeah.
All I heard while you were talking was keep the stuff that you had when you went into bankruptcy. So I was like, yeah, all of this sounds great. But there are pros and cons as we're talking. So that sounds really good. So what's the bad side?
Well, the Chapter 13, you're required to pay over all of your net disposable income over the life of your plan, which is, you know, 36 months to 60 months. And the bankruptcy trustee, the Chapter 13 trustee, is going to take a preliminary look at your monthly income and expenses. And if that trustee says, you know what, this particular expense I don't think is reasonable, then you're going to have a fight and see if the judge agrees with you. And the judge almost always agrees with the Chapter 13 trustee. Almost always. So, you know, if you're a high-income person, and we have a lot of them that get into trouble financially, and you're used to making certain payments, you know, your kid's private school, maybe mortgage on a second home, different household expenses, then you're going to have a lot of trouble because you're going to have to let go of some of those expenses and pay mm-hmm. that over to creditors. Like I've got clients who have children who are in college, and generally, and they're paying their children's, you know, living expenses. You're not allowed mm-hmm. to do that in Chapter 13. And that's
oh.
a real hardship. Those, you know, your child is over 18. They are considered an adult. You're not allowed to, in the absence of extraordinary circumstances, you're not allowed to pay their expenses while they're in college.
I don't know, Ron. I don't know. That might be a good thing. That might be a good, because, you know, if parents
right.
have a hard time saying no to their children, they can put it on the, you know, the attorney. Listen, I can't, babe.
Yeah. No,
so if some
right.
parents are looking for a way to say no, that might actually be a good thing. I don't know.
I hear you. And I don't think you're wrong about that, but it does come as a real shock to my clients.
It is a shock.
You know, and so they say, wow, you know what? Look, high-income people are often used to going out for meals
yeah.
or,
yeah.
you know, going on, you know, expensive vacations or doing these things. And,
of
look,
course.
You could still go out to a restaurant. You could still take a vacation. But, you know, your expenses, they're going to be looked at by the trustee and
yeah.
potentially by the court. So that's hard. It's very hard
yeah.
to dedicate all your net disposable income for 5 years.
Yeah, yeah. The part about the kids, I think, and I'm at the age where I have adult children, and I have friends with adult children, and the expectation is that, you know, we are an ATM for the children. Well, I'm real good at saying no anyway. I say no before I even hear what the request is. I'm like, no. What is it? And then, you know, we kind of know we're working our way out of a no, but more than likely it's no. But my friends, I was like, oh my, why are you stressing over that? Why can't you just tell your child no? And they don't have a good reason. And I think you've just given like a good reason, you know. If someone needs
yeah.
to reset their life, listen, you know, mom's trying to get back on track. And it's not a lie, but it's your way out, because some adults don't know how to say no to their adult children. So I don't
right.
know. I think
that
can go on the pro list.
Sure. And that's a big deal, because that comes up a lot.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, another thing is, you know, if you have equity in your property, that now, if you have sufficient equity in your property, that could even drive your payments above your net disposable income. And so that can be a real problem. Sometimes I've got clients who have just too much equity in their property, so they end up having to pay all of their creditors in full. And that's a hardship for them too. Then what they have to do is they've really got to cut back on even normal monthly expenses for that period of time so that they can become debt free. That's a hard thing for them too.
But the thing really is that bankruptcy is a privilege, it's a right. Is it a difference between a privilege and a right, Ron?
It sure is. And bankruptcy
okay.
is a privilege, and it's not a right.
Okay. So it's a privilege that we get to reset ourselves. So
that's right.
It is hard to even be in the space to face, I have to reset myself. And I can imagine the rest of the shocks that other people feel going through bankruptcy. I've gone through one myself, and I didn't have an attorney like yourself. So it was, I mean, the person was nice, and they did their job, get my tongue together. But it was still, it was hard. It was hard to do. It was hard to go through that. It was hard to feel everything that I was feeling and make a decision about what I must do to get back on track. So I get all of that is a shock, but the fact that we have the opportunity to reset ourselves, I think, is the big outcome. And that's what you talk about. You know, we get through the emotional part of it or the shame on me part of it, and now we can really see the bright side and reset ourselves. And you've also talked about the good of coming out of bankruptcy, that we could come out better than we were before we went in. So,
yeah, that happens a lot. You know, for the people
yeah.
who can find the discipline to make it work, those people are going to be in great shape at the end of their chapter 13 plan, because they'll have established great habits, and they can start a pattern of savings, which is really where you want to go. Where to me the whole point of bankruptcy is not just to solve one problem, but to create a lifestyle where you can build financial security.
Yeah. It's hard. I'm thinking about it. I'm like, yeah, it was hard for me, and that was many years ago. And I just imagine, because even now when I can't do something because of something else that has to be done, even if it's a little thing, like I can't go get coffee or I can't go to the store as opposed to doing what I need to do, it's just that thought that I can't do it as opposed to it's an option. And we can really, you know, it realigns your thinking, and bankruptcy reset will shake you up. So I think if you have to practice something for 5 years, you'll definitely have a good habit.
Sure.
You have a good habit.
That's right.
Definitely.
That's actually right. And, you know, during the time of you're in a Chapter 13, if you want to buy or sell a car, or you want to buy or sell a house or do anything like that, you've got to get bankruptcy court permission to do it. And that is a hardship for people who are used to just kind of managing their affairs as they please, as adult citizens in the world. No, while you're in bankruptcy, Chapter 13, you have to get permission from the court. A lot of times clients don't like that the Chapter 13 world prefers that you have wage orders in place, so that when you file the Chapter 13, instead of voluntarily making that monthly payment to the trustee, the trustee, you know, has it deducted from your pay on a, you know, weekly, bi-weekly, monthly basis, which is the cases that have that have a much higher degree of success than when the clients need to write the check, because that's a painful check to write. Nowadays, it's a little easier because most trustees have enacted a system where they can automatically debit the money from the bank account, and they just set that up to, you know, they set it and forget it, and that's a great thing too. That's almost as good as the wage garnishment. But people, they want to know that they've got that ability to manage their finances in the case of an emergency, and I totally understand that, but it does increase the likelihood that your case won't succeed. So these are, I've been talking about the pros and the cons. The pros are, of course, at the end of the 5 years, you're going to get a discharge of your debt. You're going to be more or less debt-free, unless you have, you know, student loans. And, you know, and you're in great shape at the end of those 5 years. That's the reward. But the price of paying over that net disposable income every month and being under the scrutiny of the bankruptcy world for those 5 years, that is a hard road for a lot of people.
It is. It is. Because it's something that we haven't done. We say the word budget, but it's not really that. Budget is what I have until I don't have it, in a sense, as opposed to really setting things aside for rainy days. Sometimes quotes don't really do what they're supposed to do, because what is rainy day if you don't have a purpose for it? And so people miss the point of it until we do find ourselves having to sit with you, and it's a new way of thinking. It feels like punishment until it's not. So, I mean, you're absolutely right. This is great. I've enjoyed it. As always, I enjoy when you come on. Now, are you working on any new programs? Do you have a book coming out? What's going on? What else do you have coming out?
You know, actually, we're at an end of the summer period. You know, I'm still selling my course called Complete Bankruptcy for attorneys that want to get into the bankruptcy world. And I wrote a book, Single Mom's Guide to Financial Recovery, and I'm probably going to start, you know, accelerating sending that out to the moms out there who are probably struggling with this whole COVID mess.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, how do people get in touch with you outside of this interview?
Best way is to go to the website, www.drescherlaw.com. That's DRESCHERLAW. From there, you can schedule an appointment. You could do a chat. You can check out what we're working on, and you could even make a call to the office.
Fantastic. Until our next time, have a super day, Ron.
Thanks a lot. I really enjoyed it.